Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Chris Vermeulen, founder and editor of The Technical Traders. Chris, I think we have to start again with precious metals. I've been talking a lot about precious metals, but rightfully so. We have gold and silver that continue to break out, and they are showing a lot of volatility, some big moves, even overnight. A couple nights ago, we saw gold move higher up to almost 1980 and then pretty quickly reverse down to about 1950. Silver also went through a similar pop. It was interesting to see some of these reversals on higher volume, but I think the most important thing, and as I follow along with your technical outlooks, is that gold and silver also hit some higher resistance levels that you were expecting. Maybe not this quickly, but hey, they all happen kind of overnight and then again reversed on some high volume. What do you take away from this price action in metals, where the precious metals especially continue to move higher, continue to hit these resistance levels, and continue to show some volatility, but really it's just overall strength here?
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on the charts, that's for sure. On a long-term view, I mean, obviously gold's been in a bull market for over a year now. Gold miners broke into a bull market a couple months ago, and silver, the last but not least, has broken into a bull market, you know, 7-8 trading days ago, and it's just happened on huge volume. There's massive short positions. It's created this big short squeeze. People are piling into this trade, and it's been a huge move. In the last 8 trading sessions, the market rallied 30% just in silver. Amazing how strong that move is. And then on more or less, I guess it would be a Tuesday morning in pre-market trading, we saw silver rally all the way from $24 all the way to $26. And then it just got hammered in overnight trading with huge selling volume and came back down. Now, I think there's rumors of a big U.S. mint that's talking about limiting how much they're going to send out in bullion. And that could have been the spark of the news. But we saw silver hit 2 targets this week already, which Monday it had hit $24.36, which was a first resistance level. And then in overnight trading after that, we had this big spike in price to $26 in silver, which was a 2011-2012 low. And then we saw big selling step in. So silver has kind of had its initial pop. I'm hoping it's had its initial pop. It's hit resistance. It's going to consolidate for hopefully a few weeks. I think gold is very similar. It's run up. Fibonacci extension momentum targets were hit on Monday and Tuesday, where gold hit 1967 was the upside target, 1967 to the 2000 mark. And that's where it is trading. And big selling stepped in Tuesday morning in pre-market as well, along with silver. So I think we've had that this kind of current push and run. And with any luck, we're going to actually see it cool off, consolidate, build a new launch pad, a nice bullish pattern that can be more sustainable. Because if price keeps going straight up, it's probably going to have a very sharp correction. And all we need here is just a sidestep for a few days or a few weeks. The longer, the better. And then the next move up will be a big move as well. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. But right now, short term, we've hit resistance, and I think it's starting to show through on the charts.
So you want to see some price action similar to what gold went through April, May, and June, when it was knocking on that 1800 level and really just moved sideways, consolidated a lot of those gains, kept testing out 1800, and then finally broke out. You're hoping for a similar pattern here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the longer something consolidates in a bullish pattern, the bigger the next move will be. You want price to really, in reality, you want like a nice 45 degree angle on that chart, because it can run like that for year after year after year and be manageable. But when you get these big spikes in price, that's when you have a spike and then you have some type of pullback or consolidation. It becomes a little more choppy. If you take a look at the silver daily chart and you go from the March low to the first kind of rally there, to the 50-day moving average, silver rallied 34% in a couple weeks, and then it pulled back for a couple weeks, and then it rallied 27%, and then it pulled back, and now we've got this new move where it's rallied really from the low. I mean, I think it's rallied even more than that. We've rallied in total probably 54% in silver from the June lows. So we see silver, it's kind of going parabolic. We've got this massive wave of volume in the market now that is telling us when something goes beyond a norm, so beyond a 30% kind of move, which has been the norm this year for silver, 30 down, 30 up, another 30 up. Now we're 55 up with huge volume. That's a crowded trade. Everyone's piled in. Everyone's trying to buy it. The fear of missing out. The volume is there saying, yeah, everyone is actually buying it. There's huge volume. And we've hit significant resistance. So, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love it to consolidate, pull back here. That's what the chart is saying. I think it'll be a great opportunity for people to get in a few weeks at the same price or lower, but with it re-energized for another move that can really skyrocket up.
Hey, yeah, you take a look. I have that weekly chart of silver, and it's absolutely a parabolic move just in the last 2 weeks. Hey, that's what happens when silver moves more than a dollar a day to start off these weeks. Chris, let's also just talk in big picture concept here where fear assets or the safe haven assets, they're all seeming to move higher. Even Bitcoin starting to move higher. The U.S. dollar, if you view that as a safe haven, that's actually going in the alternate direction. That's dropping, but I think that is also supporting some of these moves in at least the metals. What's this telling you when you see a lot of these safe havens start to pop higher?
Yeah, well, it's a big concern. Generally, when you see gold moving up and you see bonds moving up, especially for an extended period of time, while the stock market is kind of stalling out, that is a sign that there is fear. There's money moving out of equities and accumulating defensive assets or safe havens. And that to me is a warning sign that something big, bad, and ugly could be brewing just around the corner for the overall equities and the economy. And we've seen that. We saw this happen in February. We saw bonds outperform, metals outperform, and then we saw this huge COVID correction. And things are actually setting up very similar, except for this time around, we're seeing silver really take hold and take off. We're seeing Bitcoin broke out. I mean, Bitcoin's had this big bull flag pattern. I talked about it about a week or so ago saying, hey, the upside target, if this pattern holds, is going to be 14,000 on Bitcoin. And Bitcoin broke out. I think it's up 10% in the last session or two. And it's I think it's around $11,000. But it's got potential to go to 14 based on the chart pattern. So money is moving. Most people don't see it or think of it this way, but money is actually moving out of the equities here, and we're seeing it move into the precious metals, and Bitcoin had a big move, and utilities, like the defensive plays are definitely picking up. Utilities up really big on Tuesday, up about over 1.5%. So these defensive plays are telling us that big money is shifting into these selective sectors because they're getting worried about other potential news coming out. We got GDP later this week coming out. That'll tell us how bad is really the U.S. economy. Like, this is going to be a big picture, not just sector by sector. This is the whole picture. Is it going to be good, bad, or ugly?
Yeah, well, it's pretty important to see and noteworthy to see all these other sectors outperforming U.S. equity markets. But U.S. markets have been relatively boring. They've been moving sideways, still unable to fill the gap from when that drop happened in early March, I believe. But they're right there, and they haven't exactly been dropping out of bed. But hey, in all fairness, you are pointing to some maybe data points that could drive these markets. But when we look at data points, when we see bad data, that can be taken as positive for the markets because of the assumption of more stimulus. We're also hearing from the Fed this week, actually today. What do you think about that whole environment, though, of bad news can be good news for the market? So if we get maybe a decent GDP number, could that be taken negatively for the markets because central banks might get not as easy? How do you balance all this out?
Yeah, it's tough because bad news is good news for the stock market and for metals. I mean, as long as it's not devastating bad news. So as long as it's manageable bad news where, oh, it's another company with bad earnings, it's GDP's, it's bad, but we were expecting it to be at that level. If it's something like that, I think the stock market's going to continue to just kind of hold its ground and move up, and there's going to be more stimulus. There's going to be a steady stream of stimulus kind of happening, and all that is good for stocks because if the news isn't too bad, investors are going to feel like, okay, well, the Fed's going to do whatever it takes, as they said, to keep things going, which means more stimulus, which means pumping the stock market up. And everyone feels that it's going to be pumped up, so they are comfortable holding stocks. But as they print more, they're going to devalue the dollar, which we're seeing already slide substantially. And as the dollar falls, it's going to fuel precious metal values higher. So bad news to a certain extent is very good for this market. That's the way it's running. That's the way it's moving. It's how it's perceived. So as long as we don't have something really bad hit where we get closures of businesses, things tightening up, if COVID rears its ugly head again in a big way, that will be a game changer. But at this point, I mean, as long as this everything just kind of keeps bouncing along here in a kind of a rough state, I think it's going to actually be good for the markets.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, are we going to get more shutdowns? What sort of economic data could throw traders off their current course? It's tough to say, but the fact of the matter is this general calm for the markets, it's good for a lot of markets, right? It's not that we want a major collapse coming or even a major skyrocketing of U.S. markets because these other sectors, they're finally having their time to run. And then the question is just how long can these sectors run for? What are you mostly just focused on here, Chris? What are you trading? What do you think has some more legs to it?
I think bonds are actually still going to continue to work their way higher. They've really recovered and are held up very well, and they keep walking their way higher up the chart simply because fear continues to kind of build. I like the precious metals. I think you need to own precious metals. I think long term and short term, I think they're a little bit long in the teeth. I think we could buy them at the same or better price in a few weeks. But they're obviously a hot sector. The technology sector is still leading the way to the upside. So you really got to still focus on the leading sectors. Other than that, I mean, that's kind of where you got to be. When this market starts to roll over, like we still have that big gap, as you mentioned, on the S&P 500. It was late February that big gap happened. So we're still 3 or 4% away from filling that gap on the S&P 500. And typically, the S&P 500 almost always fills every gap on that chart. And I don't think we're going to see a big market correction until we fill that gap. And we're not far away. So whatever news comes out this week, I think we might see a little squeeze higher in the S&P 500. We'll fill that gap. Once that gap's filled, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because I think any reversal from that point forward is a potential reversal for a bigger sell-off in the equities market to really take the wind out of the sails. I mean, we've had this tremendous rally since the March lows, and it could have an easy 10, 15, 25% correction. And in reality, that's not that big considering the size of the move we've recently seen this year.
All right. Hey, Chris, always great having you on the show. Thanks for your comments. It's an interesting time for these markets and a lot of news still coming this week that could drive these markets. But overall, there has been a general shift of focus to some of these safer assets. We'll see the longevity of the runs. Chris, thanks for your time today. I look forward to chatting with you in a couple weeks. Have a great long weekend.
All right. Thanks, Corey. You too. Take care.